This is episode 33 of UFO Encounters. This week I'm reading from Ryan Wood's book, Magic Eyes Only, Earth's Encounters with Extraterrestrial Technology. When I have guests on my podcasts, I read their books to work out questions for the episodes. When reading these books, I always find such amazing information that never makes it into the podcast. And here I get a chance to give you a peek into the book. I've put a link to the book in the show notes, and I did seek permission to record the extract from the book, and the author kindly said yes. And if you enjoy the podcast, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe. So I've chosen to read an extract from Chapter 9, which is titled Cape Girardeau, Missouri, 1941. And this is what Ryan has written. The initial data in support of this case can largely be traced back to Leonard Springfield's book, UFO, Crash Retrievals, The Inner Sanctum, Status Report 6, in which he shared the contents of a letter from Charlotte Mann, the granddaughter of Reverend William Huffman, a travelling Baptist minister who had moved to Cape Girardeau, Missouri, to live and begin ministering at the Red Star Baptist Church in early 1941, according to church records. Mann's letter to Stringfield recounted the deathbed confession of her grandmother who, during several days, described an unusual event that Reverend Huffman apparently attended late one early spring night, just 10 to 15 miles by car outside of Cape Girardeau in 1941. According to the deathbed confession to Mann, when Huffman arrived at the scene, police officers, fire department personnel, FBI agents and photographers were already in attendance. Huffman was reportedly asked to provide blessings to the three dead occupants of the craft. During this process, Huffman allegedly observed a command module with hieroglyphic writing inside and prayed over each of the obviously non-human entities. When the military arrived on the scene, said Mann, everyone was sworn to secrecy. However, upon returning home to 1530 Main Street, the Reverend chose to share the story with his wife and family. It was this retelling of events that night to his wife, Floy, that Charlotte would hear from his grandmother years later, in 1984, over the course of several days as she lay dying of cancer. As principal researcher, this author has investigated the case extensively and finds it important to note that this is not the only time Charlotte was exposed to this story. During her childhood, she heard bits and pieces during conversations with her father and uncle. When Floy was dying, Charlotte pressed her to fill in the specific details as to what really happened that spring evening in 1941. It took a fair amount of pleading with her grandmother initially to convince her to violate the commitment she had made to her husband not to speak of it. Eventually, Charlotte succeeded in extracting the story. She kept after the story for several days, clarifying with her grandmother until Charlotte was confident that she completely understood what had happened. Starting with Springfield's report and later personally meeting Charlotte, this author became convinced that here was a credible witness and bizarre story that was in dire need of validation. In an interview, Charlotte Mann provided greater detail regarding the alleged incident at Cape Girardeau, including extraordinary details of a photograph purportedly taken at the crash site that showed one of the recovered alien bodies. She said, "I saw the picture originally from my dad, who had gotten it from my grandfather, who was a Baptist minister in Cape Girardeau, Missouri, in the spring of 41. I saw that picture and asked my grandmother later. She was at my home fatally ill with cancer, so we had a frank discussion. She said that grandfather was called out in the spring of 1941, in the evening around 9 to 9:30, that someone had been called out to a plane crash outside of town and would he be willing to go minister to the people there, which he did. Upon arrival, it was a very different situation. It was not a conventional aircraft as we know it. He described it as a saucer that was metallic in colour, with no seams, did not look like anything he had seen. It had been broken open in one portion, so he could walk up and see that. In looking in, he saw a small metal chair, gauges and dials and things he had never seen. However, what impressed him most was around the inside. There were inscriptions and writings, which he said he did not recognize, but were like Egyptian hieroglyphics. There were three entities, or non-human people, lying on the ground. Two were just outside the saucer, and a third one was further out. His understanding was that perhaps the third one was not dead on impact. There had been a mention of a ball of fire, yet there was fire around the crash site, but none of the entities had been burned, and so Grandfather did pray over them, giving them last rites. There were many people there, fire people, photographers, and so they lifted up one, and two men on either side stood him up, and they stretched out his arms. They had him under their armpits and out here. As I recall from the picture I saw, he was about 4 feet tall, appeared to have no bone structure, soft looking. He had a suit on, or we assume it was a suit. It could have been his skin, and that looks like it was crinkled soft aluminium foil. I recall it had very long hands, very long fingers, and I think there were three, but I cannot swear to that. Ryan continues. Other living, supporting witnesses included Charlotte Mann's sister, who confirmed her story in a notarized affidavit, and the brother of the Cape Girardeau County Sheriff in 1941, Clarence R. Shade. Before presenting testimony further below, it may be useful, especially for readers realizing the weight of UFO evidence for the first time, to ask whether there are public, authentic documents that support or corroborate the hypothesis of a pre-Roswell crash retrieval event. Let us quickly survey documents that have emerged from multiple leaked sources, as well as from official government archives in recent years. 7 leaked documents from 3 sources since 1994 provide both direct and indirect support for crash retrieval events in the possible timeframe recounted by Reverend Huffman. As previously noted, documentary evidence comes in a March 1942 memo about the February 1942 so-called LA air raid. For about an hour over Los Angeles, a slow-moving disc-shaped craft was illuminated with spotlights, and 1,430 rounds of ammunition were fired at it with many clear, direct hits, according to witnesses. General George C. Marshall then wrote a top-secret memo to President Roosevelt about this event, requesting an investigation of military records of unconventional aerial phenomenon, dating back to 1897, a likely reference to the Aurora airship case. FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover may have also weighed in on the Los Angeles case in a handwritten note on an FBI memo about UFOs dated the 10th of July 1947. At the end of a declassified memo requesting involvement with the Air Force's UFO cases, Hoover writes, "I would do it, but before agreeing to it, we must insist on full access to discs recovered. For instance, in the LA case, the Army grabbed it and would not let us have it for cursory examination." The research question is whether Hoover's note concerns Los Angeles because of the air raid, Los Alamos because that is where Roswell wreckage was taken, or Louisiana. Odds favour Louisiana, because this is the right mailing format for the time, LA. And Hoover was very good about his capitalization and initials. But it may have referred to Los Angeles. In any case, it is more evidence for pre-Roswell crash retrievals. Another document, annotated 24 September 47 and classified Magic Eyes only, discusses evidence deemed extraterrestrial in nature and makes specific reference to a discovery in 1941. Several pages further, the document comments, "Even the recovery case of 1941 did not create a unified intelligence effort to exploit possible technological gains, with the exception of the Manhattan Project." There is no mistaking that the document refers to crashed UFOs, as it is titled "Mission Assessment of Recovered Lenticular Aerodyne Objects and Implications in 5 Parts," and focused on the "Project White Hot Intelligence Estimate Preliminary," examining a UFO recovered in 1947 from Socorro, New Mexico. Okay, so this week I was reading from Ryan Wood's book, Magic Eyes Only, Earth's Encounters with Extraterrestrial Technology. If you want to buy the book, there is info and a link in the show notes. And a great way to support the podcast is to sign up on Patreon. On the Alien UFO Podcast Patreon, when you sign up for $5 a month, you get an extended episode every week. For $2 a month, you get an extended episode every month. And if you want to give the extended episodes a try, there is a 7-day free trial. Just go to patreon.com/AlienUFO Podcast. And if you enjoy the podcast, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favourite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening.